Frame it, print it.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, coming up, more on the environmentalist who was banned this week from a Safety Harbor park for objecting to the spraying of the controversial herbicide Roundup. Yesterday, we had a short interview with a woman, Tanya Vidovic. Here's what one listener had to say following yesterday's show.
Hi, this is Kevin from St. Petersburg, listening to today's show, mainly about glyphosate. The spraying that the contractors are engaged in is certainly not new, which means that it's not effective, even though they're saying that it is. And as far as the spraying goes, I think the wheat should be left alone. We've had shows on WMNF where weeds are considered edible. The invasives need to be hand-pulled.
Well, there's a listener comment about yesterday's program. As we said, yesterday we carried an interview with a Pinellas County woman and a WMNF volunteer named Tanya Vidovic. She had been trespassed, in other words, banned from Felipe Park and Safety Harbor along Upper Tampa Bay for what she says was objecting to the spraying of a chemical herbicide, Roundup. And the chemical was supposed to be sprayed on invasive plants. She says it was being sprayed on native plants in the park. Roundup has been named as a likely carcinogen by the World Health Organization. Consumer Reports has issued a warning about the dangers of Roundup. Here's a portion of a video that Tanya Vidovic shot just before she was trespassed from Felipe Park.
So after I made that video explaining that this company that the county of Pinellas has paid $9,000 to come spray aquatic Roundup all over Felipe Park, they called the police on me. So now I get to wait and talk to the police, which should be fun. So apparently I am not allowed to sit and talk to the people spraying the poison all over the park and sit quietly, mind you, after a conversation, which I posted earlier, and haven't talked to them since. Been sitting probably about 10 feet away, quietly, and I got the police called on me.
Well, that's Tanya Vidovic, who was trespassed from Felipe Park in Safety Harbor for objecting to the spraying of Roundup, which is a controversial herbicide. The World Health Organization says it is a likely carcinogen. Well, now joining us is Paul Cozy, who's director of the Pinellas County Parks and Conservation Resources, and we're going to get Pinellas County's side on this. And Paul, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Good morning.
Paul, tell me how many parks are in Pinellas County?
Separate facilities between parks and preserves. We have approximately 42 facilities encompassing approximately 20,000 acres.
That's a lot. Tell me, in how many of those parks do you use Roundup?
We probably use Roundup in the majority of those areas for different uses, though. It's not all for invasive exotic management. It might be for maintaining hardscapes like someone might do at their private residence, remove weeds from sidewalk cracks and those types of uses.
And who applies Roundup in Pinellas County Parks?
In parks, it would be our park rangers or our park maintenance workers.
Now, how much training do they have on what Roundup is?
Folks in our agency who apply pesticides are either certified spray applicators or work under the direction of a certified spray applicator.
And how much training is involved in that? Is it hours,
that's administered,
weeks?
That's administered through our extension offices under the state guidelines, which are statutory.
Now, Tanya Vidovic was trespassed from Felipe Park in Safety Harbor. She says that she was entirely peaceful and not interfering with the work that was going on. Is that true? Is from your point of view?
Well, I prefer not to get into the specifics, for both Tanya's sake and ours. I am looking into all of the issues associated with that trespass warning, and I will be communicating with Tanya later today.
Okay, all right. You know, let me just say generally, is it the policy of the Pinellas County Park System to trespass people that peacefully object to something that's going on in the park?
Is it our practice to trespass people who are peacefully?
Yeah.
No, it's not our practice.
Okay. I wonder if you have you read much about Roundup? Have you looked into Roundup as, you know, in terms of the controversy surrounding it?
I'm familiar with it, yes, sir.
All right. So just a few days ago in San Francisco, a 46-year-old former groundskeeper who had just worked for a few years spreading Roundup in Monsanto for the school district was awarded $289 million in damages for his terminal cancer. He's about to die from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Are you aware of that lawsuit?
I am aware of that lawsuit.
What do you make of it?
Well, certainly Monsanto is not a sympathetic defendant, and unfortunately for the individual who's facing this cancer diagnosis, it's very sympathetic. I realize, though, this is a civil lawsuit. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor, so it's difficult. I haven't seen the evidence that was presented, but obviously it's concerning. I don't know what type of exposures this individual had or all of the particulars, but you know, one of the things that we stress is that we use any type of pesticide, whether it's a weed killer or an insect pesticide, that people follow the label directions, that our staff understands the material safety data sheet, and that they wear the proper personal protective equipment.
Well, what is the Roundup used for in Pinellas County Parks?
We use it for a variety of reasons. Obviously, in the situation at Philippi Park, it was to do eradication of invasive species in other areas. Like I said, we would use it similar to how you might use it at home if you pick it up at Lowe's or Home Depot, whether it's grass or weeds intruding on a hardscape area, or you know, you've got weeds in a mulch bed that are growing. Those types of applications.
This is, a lot of people called up the radio station yesterday and suggested, why didn't they use either hand pulling or use a mower or use a weed whacker, some non-chemical means to get rid of the... Go ahead.
Chemical applications are just one tool in the toolbox. You know, we use prescribed burning in some areas. We use mechanical clearing in some instances, and we use chemical applications. In this particular instance, in the type of area that they're working and the type of target species, chemical application is the most effective, and it's the most cost-effective. Obviously, it would be difficult to do any type of prescribed burning in Philippi Park because of the neighborhood and the location. A mechanical is good for certain types of species control. However, you know, it's not going to specifically deal with some of the type of vegetation and the plants that we're dealing with in Phillippe Park.
We're talking.
So that's just one method.
Yeah.
The spray application is just one method. Trying to go out there and cover 18 areas by pulling plants. You have to remember the thing that the glyphosate does is it kills the entire plant down to the root. If you're just pulling plants and you're not getting the root and the seed sources, you're just going to, all you're doing is just giving yourself a few weeks break of having to deal with it again.
We're talking with Paul Causey, who's the director of Pinellas County Parks and Conservation Resources, and this is WMNF in Tampa. We're talking about a situation in which an environmentalist this week objected to the spraying of Roundup in one county park, Phillippe Park. Paul says that Roundup, the chemical is used in all of the county parks. Paul, when you use Roundup in these parks, do you use it in areas where people recreate, where people either walk or play frisbee, maybe ride their bicycles, play football? Is there human contact to the areas where you're spraying?
Well, first let me say our pesticide use is limited and targeted. We're not broadcasting any type of chemical. It's expensive to use chemicals. We're looking for a desired effect, a desired treatment. Typically, we may use it along fence lines. And like I said, use it in hardscape areas. But we don't have a turf management program where we're using any type of chemicals or, for that matter, any type of fertilizer.
But in the areas where you spray, do humans come in contact with those areas?
I would have to say that there is potential. However, one of the things about Roundup or glyphosate is when it's dry, there's not a risk of human exposure. You're not going to brush up against it. So unless you're actually eating the plants that are sprayed, then no, I don't think you have an issue with human contact.
Now, this is the rainy season. You spray in the rainy season, right?
We do spray in the rainy season.
And with that same...
However,
with
we don't spray while it's raining. And once again, there's a time period in which there's the uptake of the chemical. That may be anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours, possibly longer. It all depends on the weather conditions.
Do you think that by spraying Roundup in Pinellas County parks that you're exposing either the park users or your staff or the people who spray to a potential carcinogen?
I don't have any evidence that I've seen that would suggest that, no.
Now, just doing some brief research on this in the last few days, Consumer Reports says, and this is from February 25th, 2016, the health and environmental risks of glyphosate, the pesticide known by the commercial name Roundup, have been underestimated, according to a new report published in the journal Environmental Health. The paper was authored by 14 scientists, including Michael Hansen, PhD, senior scientist at Consumers Union, the policy and advocacy arm of Consumer Reports. And it goes on to say that in 2015, the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer classified glyphosate as a probable human carcinogen. That article is pretty easy to find. Have you read that article from Consumer Reports?
Not the one from Consumer Reports, though. I have seen articles relating to the International Agency on Research for Cancer from the World Health Organization, and I am familiar with some of the issues with that study. I believe even the World Health Organization claimed that the exposure rates in the IARC study were much higher than would be anticipated in any actual human exposure. So, you know, I'm not a scientist. We do research these things. You know, we do have County Extension, the University of Florida. IFAS does considerable research on various chemicals. We follow U.S. Environmental Protection Agency guidelines. So with any chemical, obviously there's going to be concerns. You know, our first priority is to make sure people are safe, whether they're employees or park visitors. So we're always mindful of that. And we also, the reason we're in the business we're in is we appreciate the environment. We love our parks, and we don't want to do anything that's going to cause damage. And so we try to stay abreast of what we know about what's going on in the type of management tools we use on our public lands.
Well, there's no doubt that the Pinellas Park system is one of the most beautiful in all of Florida, and it's to the credit to you and to the people in Pinellas County that have the penny for Pinellas that helps to maintain those parks. But Tanya Vidovic called me earlier and said that there are two types of spraying, and tell me if this is true. One in which Roundup is sprayed and you know it's there because it has a blue-green tint in a dye. And then there's another kind of Roundup that you're using called Mad Dog that has no tint. Would that be accurate?
Well, you can add tints to any type of spray application. Generally, a dye is added so that you know what's been sprayed. The reason for using that dye is so the applicator knows where they have sprayed. As I mentioned earlier, chemicals are expensive, so you want to use as little as possible. So that's really the primary reason for using the dye.
Do you ever use Roundup without the dye?
I'm not sure. I know that our staff generally wants to know what's been sprayed, so they would use a dye. That would be a best management practice.
Are you familiar with this term Mad Dog, this brand?
It's a brand of glyphosate.
Yeah. Do you use Mad Dog?
I believe we do have Mad Dog in our inventory, yes.
And do you always use Mad Dog with dye?
Like I said, I couldn't tell you for certain without checking our spray logs and
You know what I'm getting at is that could there be places that you spray Roundup and then people don't know, and you know, maybe they're walking along one of the paths in Pinellas County that's just been sprayed and they have no idea because on that occasion you didn't use dye.
Well, once again, I think that gets back to the uptake, how soon it's drying, if it's wet. You know, like I said, there's not a risk of exposure if a plant has been sprayed and the solution has already dried.
So, and we're taking the company's word at that, right? I mean, we're that's what the company says.
Well, that's what. Research says research.
Is that research that's provided? Is that research that's sponsored by the company, or is that completely independent research?
Well, I couldn't tell you who does each individual research project, but these types of things I know are reviewed by the EPA. Like I said, we've got information from the University of Florida. I don't know who sponsors all of their research, but certainly, you know, as an agricultural school, they're interested in the use of chemicals and how they're most efficient and what type of issues may be brought about by using those chemicals.
Do you have any idea how many lawsuits Monsanto is facing regarding Roundup and glyphosate?
I do not have any idea, but I would imagine now that it would be at the very least in the hundreds.
It's 4,000 here in the U.S. alone. People that say that they've been hurt by Roundup and glyphosate. Do you think that you're exposing the county to any danger or Tampa Bay to any danger by using Roundup? I mean, the county to danger from a lawsuit from a person who's damaged by Roundup, or the Tampa Bay to environmental damage? Do you think that either of those are possible?
I don't think I would be the best person to speak on that. Like I said, you know, our use of chemicals, we try to keep it limited. I haven't seen anything that would tell me that our practices are putting anyone in danger. Glyphosate's been around for probably 40-some years now. So it's difficult for me to say, you know, people who apply chemicals, many times they're not just applying a single chemical like a glyphosate. You know, they may be golf course workers or pesticide applicators who are exposed to a number of chemicals. So, like I said, I'm not a scientist and I'm not an attorney.
In your research of looking at, you know, and establishing that Roundup's safe to use in Pinellas County, have you looked at the number of countries that have outright banned glyphosate or imposed restrictions or have issued statements of intention to ban Roundup? Do you know how many countries have decided to take one of those actions?
I know there's a number of countries that have. I know there are a number of countries that haven't. I think a lot of the issues with glyphosates center around our food supplies. Obviously, that's not an issue in our applications. We're not producing foodstuffs. But yeah, I understand there's a lot of controversy over the use of glyphosate.
There are more than 20 countries that have either banned or partially banned glyphosate or in the process of banning it. France, in November 2017, the President Emmanuel Macron announced that France would issue an outright ban on glyphosate within the next 3 years. In January of this year, Germany's coalition government agreed to begin the process of banning glyphosate. Do you think, I mean, would you, is this kind of information that you are aware of?
Yes.
And you, it doesn't raise questions to you, though.
Like I said, from the standpoint of how we use it, the frequency of use, the amount of use, what our target is on these applications, and every bit of information we have available from the EPA as well as other university-based research in the United States, that I don't think that we're putting anyone in danger. You know, we try to avoid any non-targeted contact with any species, whether it be plant, flora, fauna, or human. You know, it's not indiscriminate in our application.
And you don't think that you're endangering Tampa Bay by spraying glyphosate?
Tampa Bay, the
water? Yeah, the water body.
No, sir.
And you don't think that you're exposing your workers or your park attendants, the people that visit the parks, rather, or your staff or the contractors, you don't think that they're being exposed to anything dangerous?
No, and we would never intentionally do that. And I think our employees are better educated and better trained than the typical homeowner who is using glyphosate or derivatives thereof any weekend at their home.
Paul, do you have more time?
I have a little more time, yes, sir.
Would you like to take some phone calls from our listeners?
Would I like to, or will I?
Well, it's up to you. I mean, I appreciate the fact that you're coming on, and let me just tell our listeners that Paul Causey is the director of Pinellas County's Parks and Conservation Services, and this is WMNF in Tampa. We're talking about the use of Roundup in all of the 42 county parks and preserves, and this is sparked by an environmentalist, a local environmentalist, objecting to the use in Felipe Park in Safety Harbor on Wednesday, and she was trespassed from the park. I hope to, Paul, if anybody is uncivil, I'll take them off the air, but I think that our listeners have a lot of questions.
Sure.
All right.
Can we agree, let's say, 10 minutes?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And okay. I appreciate, thank you for coming on. I know this is tough. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Patty Perkey is our phone producer. And here is a person who was trespassed from the park, Tanya Vidovic. And Tanya, thank you for calling in. I assume that you've heard most of this interview. What would you like to ask Paul?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Let me pull over. I'm riding my bike. But yeah, I have been listening to it, and well, there's not. I think that pretty much people are informed about the product, and it seems like the general consensus is we shouldn't be using it in the parks. And I just want to know, like, I mean, I know that there's a few volunteers, but I mean, I would like to suggest hosting volunteer events to remove them, because if we've been using this sort of product for 20 years in these parks and there are still invasives, then obviously the product isn't working. It's not killing the whole plant, because otherwise it would be gone by now. And then I also would like to suggest and hope that the city the county replaces the wildflowers that were affected in the park.
And Tanya, are you saying that wildflowers were killed in the spraying of the invasives?
Yeah, exactly.
Paul, what about that? I mean, is there an area of cooperation that, you know, can you?
Well, certainly we appreciate anyone who would like to volunteer. I think there's some specific points that need to be addressed. In Tanya's call, obviously, one of the things that when you're dealing with invasive exotics, you're talking about vines, you're talking about other plants that intertwine with native species. So, yes, there's going to be some collateral damage. Obviously, what we're trying to do is to produce an environment that is going to allow the native species to outcompete the exotic species. And sometimes, that's not a pretty process. That includes whether you're using mechanical equipment or you're using prescribed fire. There is going to be some collateral damage. Now, as far as the effectiveness, the reason why we continue to have invasive exotic species in our parks is because these plants are spread through the air. They're spread through seeds that are carried by birds. They're spread through water. And so, until we're able to eradicate all of the invasive species in our county and in people's yards and things like that, it is going to always be a battle. Number one threat to our environmental lands is invasive species. And
so my question to you is that if it's a, if we go in and we spray, once or twice a year with Roundup or more, wouldn't it be better for the long-term health of the park, of the community, of the residents, if we host, like maybe with Keep Pinellas Beautiful, like a large volunteer event where they're given, where they're team leaders and we try to pull out all of the invasive species?
Well, that is certainly a great offer. There's unintended consequences with that as well. When you go into these natural areas, especially, if we're talking acres of areas that have to be addressed, how many people are you going to be able to bring in there? You've got the risk of improperly trained volunteers. You've got the risk of native species being trampled and destroyed. So,
but they're already being trampled and destroyed. And there are already the people who are spraying couldn't identify some of the native species.
Well, we'll agree to disagree on what the workers know and what they were willing to discuss with you in the park.
Sure.
But, you know, like I said, we know that there's going to be some collateral damage. We also know that the applicators have a responsibility as part of their contract on what is acceptable and what's not acceptable.
All right, Tanya, thanks a lot.
Thank you. And then, thank you so much. And again, I look forward, hopefully, to getting the trespass removed so that I can go into the park and volunteer my time to help remove the invasive.
All right, Tanya, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're talking about the use of Roundup in the parks in Pinellas County with Paul Cozy, who is director of Pinellas County Parks and Conservation Resources. What would happen if you didn't use Roundup? What would be the worst thing that would happen in Pinellas County Parks?
If we didn't use Roundup?
Yeah.
Well, we would probably have to have a lot more staff people at a much greater cost to the taxpayer to be able to perform that weed removal and invasive plant removal and all of the other things that that our citizens and visitors expect as far as not only preservation of the natural ecology, but also just the aesthetics associated with non-weedy areas and those types of things.
All right. I know you've only got two or three more minutes. Let me go to Tina in Brooksville. Tina, what's your question for Paul?
Well, I didn't really have a question. I support Paul in his effort because I, too, have worked, in this case, with Monroe County for 25 years. I'm now retired, but I held this an herbicide applicator certification for almost all that time, and prior to that, I worked under my boss's certifications. But I learned a lot about the issue. And the biggest part of this, it seems, is abuse of the product. And not that Pinellas is doing that, but I know Big Ag is the biggest offender in abusing glyphosate. But also local homeowners, and local landscape companies who may hold a certification for their company, but their employees have no clue about what they're doing. About the worst thing you can do, and Pinellas isn't doing this, I'm sure, is to spray an area thinking it's going to get the roots. I used to see people spray bare P-Rock. It works on green material. Unless you have some of the other chemicals in the Roundup, there are lots of complicated groups of these things. They put them in together now. Monsanto's got sometimes three and four different herbicides in one product. So there's so many of them now, it's hard to wrap your head around it. But to spray it on an area that, it's not going to prevent weed growth. If they're saying that, it's another chemical. There's even things like 2,4-D and some of these things that are much more toxic than glyphosate. But if glyphosate is sprayed on something, if more than is needed, the standard rule is use only what will be taken up by the plant and utilized. Anything beyond that is going to run off. There's also the issue that I see a lot of, one more point here, a lot of people use, and maybe some of the workers at Pinellas are doing that, if there is a breeze and it goes airborne at all, somebody's going to be inhaling that, and I see that all the time, too.
All right.
So there are a lot of issues here, and I could go on, but
yeah, and Tina,
Pinellas is on the right track.
All right, thanks, Tina. Thank you for that. There's a supporter of Paul. Darius writes this: I use white vinegar, salt, and dish soap on my pavers to control weeds. It works great for me. That's Darius in Largo. Is there a non-toxic alternative to, and I'm using the word toxic. I know it's not your word, Paul, but is there a non-toxic alternative to Roundup, like vinegar, salt, and soap?
Certainly, and we have experimented with other products. The vinegar and salt, it's a highly concentrated form of vinegar. It's that is used for the type of applications that we've experimented with. The issue with that is the vinegar and salt, basically what we've found out, all it does is burn the green part of the leaf above ground. So it appears dead, but it's not doing what glyphosates do, and that is to kill the entire plant by interfering with the natural chemical processes in the plant, like, for instance, photosynthesis.
All right. Paul, we've got every line lit, but let me just take one more phone call because I know you said 10 minutes. Let's go to Andy in Odessa. Andy, what's your question for Paul?
Well, Paul, first I wanted to thank him for coming on. He probably knew he was going to come into a hornet's nest, especially with Mr. Lori asking the questions. One quick question. You mentioned the take-up or the absorption time window. Can you state that again really quick for the Roundup?
Sure. And this is similar to a lot of herbicides, but the glyphosate works by, as the earlier caller, Tina, mentioned, you spray the green part of the plant. It's taken up by the cells in the plant. And it gets translocated to other parts of the plant, particularly the roots and things like that, to kill the entire plant. And so the chemical people are exposed to the chemical while it's wet, at least in the type of applications that we have. Once the chemical is dry, it's not. Yes, sir?
And you said that's up to 2 hours. Did I hear that right?
It depends. Obviously, the weather conditions have a lot to do with how long a plant is going to be wet, or how long the solution is going to be wet on the plant.
So my question is this. You know, we're in the fall now in Florida, where it rains virtually every day, sometimes very unexpectedly. Is there a protocol with the application of this product to where if there's anticipated rain or if there's rain that materializes quickly, is there a protocol for stopping the application or potentially warning residents?
Well, within our staff, they're going to be looking at what the weather reports are for the day and be looking to see whether it's suitable. And it's not only the chance of rain. We don't spray when it's, you know, when it's too breezy, because once again, we want the chemical to land where it's intended to land, and not drift through the area and kill non-targeted species. And, you know, obviously you're right. There's we have thunderstorms pop up, but generally any applicator is going to be looking at what the weather conditions are, what the anticipated uptake rate is, or the drying rate for the chemical before they spray. You know, the contractors we use are professionals. Southeastern ChemTreat does work for fish and wildlife, state parks, lots of county parks, and one of their expertises is working in these large areas targeting non-native species.
All right, Andy.
That was my question.
Andy, thanks a lot. Thanks. Well, Paul, thank you for spending all this time with us. And if people want to, comment more about the topic, what's the best way that people who live in Pinellas can have input on the topic?
Sure. They can contact the Parks and Conservation Resources Administrative Offices. That number is 727-582-2100. They're welcome to ask for me. That's Paul Cozzie, Cozzie. They can talk to any of our staff people. Extension is also at located in the same building as our office is, and we have a number of experts in regards to the use of herbicides here at Extension. So I would encourage you to call and talk to any of us here.
All right. Well, Paul Causey, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF.
You're welcome, Rob.
Thanks.
You have a good day.
All right. You too. Take care. Paul is the director of Pinellas County Parks and Conservation Resources. We've been talking about what is a controversy over the spraying of Roundup in county parks. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're going to open up the phone lines, take your phone calls, and see what's on your mind. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Dennis writes this from Sarasota. He says that he thinks that Roundup has Agent Orange in it. Dennis, thank you for that. I have not verified that, and I'll have to do some research. Terry writes this, Roundup is a carcinogen in everyone's bodies. It's Russian roulette with our health, writes Terry. Blanny writes this, the park is on the bay and Roundup is getting in our water, writes Blanny. Gina writes this, the impact of Roundup and other herbicides on honeybees has been extreme. It is toxic, period, or it would not kill plants, just the weeds. Writes Gina. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And let's go to Annie. Annie, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hi. I am from Tampa. I'm actually a garden designer and been in the business for 25 years. So I have a little bit of background in this kind of information. I wanted to mention, yesterday I knew about this. I heard it on the radio, and I was driving from Tampa to Mobile, Alabama on the back roads 19 and then up to I-10. And I noticed something. It was very significant, I thought, that along the tree line, right where the green meets from the road, right at the edge where that goes up the tree line, all the way in Florida, it was solid ground. And there's a lots of areas of water, so I know that that's going to be traveling into other bodies of water. And then when I got to Alabama, no brown, not at all. They had used a cutting tool to manage it. And, yeah, the seeds are going to be broadcast. However, the seeds are going to be broadcast anyway. And so with using the Roundup or the Roundup product, you are spraying, but it is a four-hour window of a sealant. And so if it is wet, it's not clinging, it's got the water between it. And then if it rains on it, then it's washed into the water system, which then, again, broadcasts it. So the other thing is that they were talking about how you could do maintenance. The maintenance was the biggest issue in the park. And one of the things he was talking about was having it on the hardscapes. Well, there's a lot of different tools that you can use. Specifically, there's one that hasn't even been spoken about. It's an actual torch. So you can actually use fire torch to burn the weeds in the hardscape area. It's a small handheld torch, not a big deal. It's not a dangerous situation. So I just wanted to bring those things up. And weed management is, no, you're not going to kill the plant, but if you are using like weed eaters or weed whackers or some type of tools like that, you are going to keep it down, which is really the objective, is just to keep it down.
Yeah, and Annie, you're saying,
all I have,
you're saying those,
but I appreciate you having this on the air. I think it's bringing it to light. I'm sorry that Tanya had to go through that, and I hope that they remove that banned, because I don't understand that it's a warning. I understood that she was completely banned from the area, so I hope that that's removed.
All right. Annie, thanks a lot. Thanks. And safe driving. Thanks, Annie. Annie, who saw a line of brown, apparently a killed vegetation, right where the low grass meets the tree line along U.S. 19 driving up to Alabama. We don't know what was used there. I guess we should suspect that it was some sort of herbicide like Roundup, but we don't know for sure. Here's an email from Doug. He says, are there written guidelines available surrounding the use and support for the policy of using Roundup in Pinellas Parks? Was it used in all parks or a majority of like 23 out of 42 or 40 out of 42? I believe our guest said that it's used in all the parks. And Doug writes, can the public get a list of where and when the spraying takes place? I think you're going to, Doug, you're going to have to call Paul in his office and get those questions answered at 727-582-2100. And here's an email that came in from Anonymous. Did employees have to use Roundup regardless of need or just use it up and not bring it back to the work facility? I don't know the answer to that. And I wasn't able to get that question in. Terry writes, doesn't rain reactivate chemicals after they dry? Good question, Terry. I don't know the answer to that. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Kathy in Tampa. Kathy, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Well, I would just like to say, as a concerned human being on this planet, since I am in the grass and in the water a lot with my dog, and I value my life, and I have friends who actually are organic people that go out and treat things organically, I don't see the point in poisoning us time and time again when the stuff is still coming back with the pesticides. So why don't we go the organic route, whether it comes back again or not? At least we're not killing things. I don't think it's fair that I have to be subjected to that poison in my dog.
Do you use,
especially because I'm a water person.
Yeah, Kathy, you're in Tampa. Do you use the parks in Hillsborough County?
I do, and I use them in Hillsborough, and the beaches have been closed due to things, and I am terrified of going in them because of that. And we also use Pinellas Park that they're spraying at, where my son was talking, where they were talking about. We go there quite often with my dog, and now that I know that, I will not be back in that park. But it's just, it's sad. I mean, because there are other resources that we can tap into without hurting and killing society. It's not right.
All right, Kathy, thanks a lot. Thanks. I think a lot of people agree with you. David writes this, I feel like you're picking on Paul and Pinellas a little too much. I don't think that Pinellas is the only local county using Roundup. I suspect that Hillsborough, Pasco, etc. are using it in the parks too. And David goes on to write, I suggest targeting Monsanto instead of the county staff. Well, this all grew out of a local woman, environmentalist, also a WMNF volunteer, being banned from Felipe Park on Wednesday for peacefully objecting to the use of Roundup in her park. That's where this all started. We've done a lot of programs about Monsanto, and David, I promise we'll continue to do more. I suspect if you're a longtime listener, you know that we have covered Monsanto a lot. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Amy Goodman had a great show just 2 weeks ago about the case in San Francisco, where the guy who had been spraying Roundup for just a few years as a groundskeeper at schools won $289 million in damages because Roundup caused his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, of which he's dying from right now. Let's go to Andy in Dunedin. Andy, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Me and my wife, we live across the street from Hammock Park in Dunedin, and I know they usually take volunteers in there to get rid of the invasives like the air potato plants and something. I do not think they use it in that particular park, and I think Dunedin as a whole, the mayor and them are trying to put a stop to any usage of that. And I'm not sure the applicators are all that well informed on the downsides to this chemical, but they should be covered from head to toe in everything they can. Just use this stuff. I mean, there's a reason it's banned the world over.
I wonder if those applicators, the people that do this for a living, even know about this lawsuit in San Francisco where an applicator was essentially given the death sentence for spraying Roundup. I mean, he is dying because of his exposure to Roundup after doing the job after only a few years.
Hey, maybe it's a don't ask, don't tell kind of thing, yeah. So,
yeah. All right,
and
Andy.
Real quick before I go, had anybody mentioned Jeff Sessions' name in this whole anonymous?
I think Sessions is one of two people who are still out who haven't said that they didn't write the op-ed.
He's been getting beat up pretty bad lately, so it just came into my thoughts that maybe he's behind it.
All right, Andy. Thanks a lot. Remember, in the next hour, Daniel Ruth will be here. the Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist from the Tampa Bay Times. He'll be along in the next hour on the Midpoint program here on WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Robert in Tampa. Hi, Robert. You're on WMNF.
Hi, Rob. Rob, one of the things that I find a little bit of a puzzling is that this is controversy at all. In most civilized countries, they have a precautionary principle whereby people who are in charge of doing things like this are forbidden from using it if there's even a possibility that could harm the citizens.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I kept asking Paul over and over again about the training and whether or not he could guarantee that the workers and the public that uses the parks are not exposed to dangerous levels of this stuff. I, you know, my guess is that the awareness about Roundup really hasn't percolated to much of the community. I think people that listen to WMNF and have listened for years, especially when Eve Prang Plews was on the air and she talked about glyphosate, but the recent programs by Amy Goodman and then some of the programs we've done about the dangers of Roundup and all sorts of chemical pesticides, I don't think that that's filtered out to the wider population. And so as time goes on, though, I think you're right. The U.S. will become more civilized and people will find out how to better protect the environment. Right now, I think, you know, every time you hear a politician say we're against regulations, those are the politicians that are allowing the freewheeling spraying of this kind of stuff. And we're in a deregulatory mood right now. And, you know, when the pendulum swings the other way and people decide, oh, I do want to protect the environment and I do want to protect my health, and we get tougher on some of these dangerous chemicals, things will change.
Well, I think it runs a little deeper than just dissemination of information. Me and some of my neighbors were actually thrown out of a state councilman's office for bringing up the precautionary principle and suggesting that poisoning your neighbors was a moral issue.
And you go, which city council person's office were you thrown out of?
Suarez.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Robert, thanks. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Good to talk with you.
All right. Thank you. Amy writes this, lately, Roundup has not been getting the job done. Weeds have grown resistant to Roundup, and these super weeds require more and more Roundup to kill. Not surprisingly, the response has been to increase the dosage of Roundup. Amy raises a really good point, is that that is happening. The more Roundup you use, the more resistant to Roundup weeds become. And I wonder what's going on with these plants that we're spraying over and over again in parks around the Tampa Bay area. Let's go to Wally in Dunedin. Hi, Wally. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Yes, Rob. I'm convinced that the spraying of the lawns and stuff. I live in a community in Dunedin. It's very nice. They got a pond, lots of trees. I'm convinced it's killed my dog. The dog's starting to have his seizures, and he'd like to go out and sniff around, and they do put signs up warning you, but even after it dries, he started having 3 seizures a day. I had to put him down. It broke my heart. So that's my comment.
All right, Wally, thanks a lot. I'm sorry about your animal. That's really terrible. Let's go back to the phones, and this is WMNF in Tampa. Patty Perkey is helping us on the phones behind the scenes, and let's go to Dan in Tampa. Dan, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. You know, the thing people often forget, how long did it take them to figure out, well, maybe lead in our paint isn't such a good thing?
Took a long time.
Thank you. Or perhaps, what about this asbestos?
Took a long time.
In our drywalls and stuff and everything.
What about cigarettes?
Well, for sure, that, yeah. You know. But what I'm saying with the chemical stuff, you know, people kind of had a choice with cigarettes a little bit. You know, you didn't have a choice with the paint. Every paint had lead in it. All the things were being done with asbestos. A person could say no to a cigarette. I get that. But I don't think, yeah, but you're right. They did deceive the people, absolutely, to find out it was killing them. But having said that, you know, it's like 60, 70 years later we find out about, oh, lead's not such a good thing in paint, such and such. Well, I don't know why they never use any kind of real precaution when we go at this. I often think to myself, How in the heck did the native people do it here and in other parts of the world? I believe they did it with fire. That's how I think they control their overgrowths and stuff, with fire. So, you know, I don't know if someone can't come up with an invention somehow.
Yeah, well, one of our listeners earlier said that there are small torches that can be used.
Exactly. The person that can come up with a heating device like the weed eater thing.
Yeah, they'll be a billionaire. Yeah, Dan, thanks a lot. We're out of time. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. If you want to comment about today's show, you can call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and I'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for Daniel Ruth. He's up next. This is WMA.